It's nice Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all you guys. Yeah, I was really stunned. I looked up online last night, and just as I was putting my teachings together and stuff like that, I was kind of like surprised, because I went to places where you have sermons. You know, I just typed in Google sermons Father's Day. Brought me to a whole bunch of churches, a whole bunch of different things. All of them. I mean, every sermon I read, and I only started, you know, the first few paragraphs. Everyone I went, they all had these dumb jokes about fathers. Really dumb jokes about fathers. You know, like the one joke. I mean, I couldn't believe how, if you're going to do something on Father's Day, elevate someone, huh? Elevate God, elevate the men in front of you. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the jokes was, it stuck in my head, you know, Mother's Day, that more calls are made on Mother's Day than any other holiday. Mm-hmm. And so what about Father's Day? Father's Day is more collect calls are made than any other holiday. I mean, give me a break. I just thought it was so sad. And I don't go to other churches. I mean, I don't. You know, I'm here. So I don't know what these guys are doing. But if that was four different, this got to be a mistake. So I went to one guy. It was a bunch of jokes. I went to another guy. It was a bunch. I said, "What is church? A comedy thing?" And it's all. Not in a happy light. You know, it's all that stereotypical, which there's a lot of stereotypical truths out there, you know. Not at the pulpit. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that we got, you know, there are people who can really, I don't do jokes. I never did jokes. It's not my, I've never been good at it. But I know that there's people that do one, do two, I mean, whatever. But don't make a list of a paragraph and a half of one after the other. And none of them were uplifting. You know? I want to talk about the Father's love. A Father's love. And I think I'm going to change it up a little bit. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, where all of this starts is God wanted a family. The Almighty, who is eternal. He had, he's got an entire family of all kinds of things you can see in the book of Revelation. Elders, beasts, angels. You know, that surround him. But he wanted a family. He made the earth and he put man. Man was the crowning jewel of the creation. And in 1:26, Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given every green herb and seed upon the earth." Everything's going to eat of plant life. There's no death. When God originally, nobody's eaten anybody. Everyone, the animals, all of it are eating the herbs of the trees, the fruit, the grass. That was what God originally intended. God gave his men, these two, man and woman, he gave them dominion. He gave them, God is the only one above them. He gave them everything. I mean, and you read a little bit about paradise. I mean, you can imagine a little bit. It's almost impossible to really get it right because I've never seen it so right. Even on my best day is not paradise with God, a relationship with him. But I want you to focus on the Father here. He wanted these. He wanted men. He wanted children. He wanted to give them everything. He wanted to provide. He gave them a garden. He's the one. He made the garden, and then he said, you just keep it. They didn't have to break the ground. I mean, the thing is, you just keep it. He gave them one thing not to do. One command. Don't eat of this tree, or you're going to die. Dying, you shall die. And they did it. You would think, the heart of the Father, I want to give you I give you a whole planet, and you're in charge. I mean, that's the heart of a father. You know, you desire children, you want children, you want to provide for them, you want to help them, you want to make it easy. You want them to have what they can have. You know, they got to do their thing, you got to work for it and stuff. And hey, you give them rules. You tell them this, don't do this. You know, don't run in the street, you get hit by a car, and you smack them over the head when they do it. Otherwise, they will. They're dumb enough to do it. So you discipline them so that they can prosper, ultimately. And anybody who doesn't, their kids don't do real well. It's just the way it is. So, but look at the Father. This is what he wanted. This is the kind of God, this is the kind of being he is. He's eternal, he's powerful. I mean, he's all the things. And then to have his own children so commit such a disobedient treason against him, give everything that he gave them to the devil. And then he still promises them a savior. He still fights for them and talks to them and promises them a savior. What a father. So you never give up. One thing I knew I'll never give up on my kids. I don't care. I mean, they're all wonderful. I mean, I'm thankful. I'll never give up on my kids. No matter what kind of trouble you get in, no matter what the heck happens in life, you know, you stand by them. You do everything you can. No matter what comes our way, that's family. That's what a father, I believe, would do. That's what God did. See, I get that from him. I get that from learning his word. I didn't get that from experience. I get my whole thing about learning to be a father came from scripture. I learned other things from other men, and that's all good, but no man is perfect, even if you had a great example. No guy is perfect. You know, we're just people. We're dust. We're not so bright sometimes, you know. But other times, you know, you hit the mark. But God is the example to me. You know, he really is straightforward, but he never gave up on mankind. He never gave up on the people that he wanted as children. They will choose ultimately. And many of the people that he's fought for will not be with him forever. They chose not to be. He's not a pushover. You know, he is a just God. Go to Luke 15. Again, we see what the Lord teaches us about God in this parable. And we've read this many times, but I want to rethink about it in light of the Father. Because, you know, this is called the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, but it's not. It's of the forgiving Father. It's of the Father who, it's really more than just the forgiving. It's of a Father who pleads and never gives up on his kids and fights for them no matter which way they go. And in verse 11 it says, "And there was a certain man who had two sons." Now, most people pay a lot of attention to the first son and not the second. Okay? The first son's just a sinner. He's an all-out, let's just party, have a good time sinner, right? Flush, lust, this, that, and the other thing. Wastes everything, blows it all. The second son is really more like the Pharisees in Jesus Christ's time. Legalist, no mercy, no care for others. It's all about him. It's all about how wonderful he is. You know, he's owed something, you know. You don't pay attention to me. See, you know, what you do, like, I had two children. When one got sick, the one that got sick got all the attention. Who's ever got the need gets the attention. And the second brother was very upset about that. You can never give me nothing. Let's just read this thing here. He had two sons, and the younger of them said unto the father, "Give me the portion of the goods that fall to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. And he would fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Now, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said unto his servants, "Bring forth the best robes, put it on him, put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. This guy, this father, I love it when he says he gave them both. You know, one kid says, "Give me what you're going to give me. Give me my inheritance." It's like my grandmother said, "I love you both equally." She always said that to me and my brother all the time. And whatever one got, the other one got. Well, this guy's the same way. He gave to both of his sons their inheritance He gave them both. He divided them unto both of them. This one took everything that he was given, like Adam, and blew it. He just wasted it. He did it. This young man did it in a lot of terrible ways, but not really extraordinary in the times that we live in. People do this all the time. You know, they'll go and they'll sex, drugs, rock and roll. Is that the thing? I mean, you see this all the time. Rich people end up very poor or very dead. It's called lust. It's called blowing it, called no wisdom, no understanding, living for the moment. But you know what? The Father never stopped looking. He saw him afar off. When this kid finally came from the bottom, where he was feeding the pigs, he saw him afar off. He was looking for him. And there was no hesitation. No hesitation. He ran. He fell on his neck. He kissed him. The emotional moment of that. It was no doubt. Forget about what the kid's saying. Make me a servant. My son is alive. He's here. That's our God. When you come back to him. And you finally wake up. And you come out of that part of your life. If you've ever been there. Our God is just always, he never gives up. There's nothing you can do that he won't. If you come back to him. See, that's the thing. A lot of people want that kind of mercy in their life and not come back. Well, that don't happen because he is a just God. Can't be bribed. He's not to be used. He is the Lord God Almighty. You know, there are kids that leave, never come back. The Father may yearn for them, but that don't mean they'll ever come back. You know, I got two examples in my mind of people that I've known and continue to know. I got a father whose child they've been yearning for and yearning for and yearning for, and it's just returned. You know, and I got another one who threw away the children almost and wouldn't even help them in their moment of need. You know, one's despicable and worse than an unbeliever. That's what it says in Titus. And the other one, man, is just like emulates the Father that's in heaven. You just love. In Psalm 145, by the way, the other son, he was a hard-hearted, but you know what the father did? Just before we go to 145, you know what the father did? He explained it to him. He went out. He sought him. When that guy left the house, and you never did that for me. He never gave me a fatted. What are you talking about? You've been with me all the time. I gave you your whole inheritance. You think about what the father did. He gave him his half of the inheritance. He's had fellowship with the father. But because he was jealous, because he couldn't stand the fact that his brother was forgiven. Yeah, we got believers that, why are they getting forgiven just because, and you know, how come they're getting a shot again? I've been doing this forever. You know, remember where it says the first shall be last and the last shall be first? You got to think about that sometime again. The last are going to be first. The guys who get in last. I've been doing this, you know, 40 plus years, right? And trying to stay faithful. There's going to be people just like the guy next to Jesus on the cross. You know, they're going to be in the last hour of their life, and they're going to repent, and they're going to get the same thing I'm going to get. And so, well, that's not fair. Well, that's human. It's God's to give to whom he wants. See, God's the Father. He gave both sons equally. He do what he wants with his stuff. And it don't matter how bratty the kids are, or how selfish, or how self-righteous they become, like that second son. What you got to say about it has nothing to do with the love of the Father. You follow that? So, in Psalm 145, I love thinking about my father. In verse 18, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him." He's always with us. He's near. You call upon him, he hears you. He's right there. Keeps telling us that always in manifestations. He's right here. "To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. So you have men who give their seed, but they're not a father. You know, they have a kid, but they're not a father. Fathers are a real specific thing. Real fathers are real specific things. It's not just having a kid. Anybody can have a kid. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. "Thou shalt also consider in thy heart, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chastens thee." He disciplines you. Fathers generally discipline their sons. Okay? Moms do it too, but we're talking about the Lord here. If you care about somebody, you discipline them. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth," he disciplines, "and he scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." Without the chastisement, that's, like I said, a father generally knows. He's got a whole life experience. Again, earthly fathers are, you know, they're only a certain, on their good days, they're only still iffy as far as, you know, compared to God. Because you do it, and I'll teach them, and I'll direct them, and I will discipline them to do the things that I believe is best, right? Some of those things that I believe are best may not be the absolute best. But that's all I can do is my best. I have no doubt that God will discipline you, and it will be the best. right? But if you're without discipline, then that so-called father doesn't have a relationship with their kid, ain't teaching them nothing, ain't helping them with nothing, ain't trying to discipline them to understand life, how things work, dangers, you know, all the different things that a dad would try to help a kid. You got to teach them how to work, how to think, how to treat people, especially women, those that are, you know, less fortunate, those that are weaker. I mean, a man, those are the kind of qualities that you got to have. You got to fight for folks. You got to protect, defend, you know, provide. I mean, that's stuff you got to teach your children. You know, and you teach them by example, but you also teach them by discipline. You know, you clean up your room. This is how you work. This is what you do. This is how, these are your responsibilities. Because they're going to have responsibilities their entire life. And if you don't do the little ones, you'll never do the big ones. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in much. But it's training. Do you know anybody who is born and just wants to work? All I know is the kids wanted to play. And they only played the games that they were interested in playing at that moment, and then they left all the stuff out for mom to clean up. And then we play another game and mess up another place. That's, you know, nobody comes out of learning, oh, yeah, I want to work hard and get things accomplished and do mundane things. That takes a little training, a little discipline, a little understanding. But God does deal with us as children. I get so reproved when I read his word. I get so hit over the head. You know, I become ashamed sometimes when I read this and I think how far I fall short. And yet it's just, he encourages me. He teaches, he does doctrine, he teaches you how to do it right. He reproves you when you're wrong. And he teaches you from the place that you're wrong how to get back to right believing. That's what the scriptures do. Doctrine, reproof, correction. It's a great example to follow. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. In verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." That's one of the great qualities of our Father. And one of the great requirements that if you've been forgiven, you need to forgive when someone asks you to forgive, because he's forgiven you. He wants you to love because he loved you. He wants you to comfort because he's comforted you. He wants you to show mercy because he's given you mercy. Whatever he's given you, he requires you to share. It's a requirement. If you want, because he wants his children to be like him. in chapter, in verse 20 here in the same chapter, it says, "For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Every promise he's made to his people, to his children, he's the Father. He keeps them. You know, and it's a great quality to emulate. Be an individual of your word. You know, mean what you say. Say what you mean. Don't just blow things out of your mouth that you ain't going to back up. It's just a tremendous quality. And God is one who has made his promises, and he will not go back on them. Go to, Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. See, to me, it's serious business to look at what the Father, our God and our Father, is all about, who he is, the kind of Father he is. And then it's real serious business for me to try to emulate this. This is serious business. This is not just, you know, you got to choose. I know that men are hardwired to do many of these things, but unless they do it from a godly perspective, they miss the boat. Because if things get tough, they quit, which is really prevalent in our society since so many households have fatherless homes. You know, I mean, so it's not so hardwired that it can't be ignored, especially when great selfishness comes involved. You know, if you haven't been trained, haven't been disciplined, you haven't been, you know, take responsibility, be an individual of your word, be faithful, show up, you know, get through the hard times, all the rest of it. Hey, I don't need to do this. So this is why it's serious business to me. It's serious business for my family. It was serious business. And again, I don't know any man who's perfect at doing this. I do know God. He's the one I look to show me. But I want to emulate it as best I can. In Numbers 23, in verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" You know, we look at people, we judge God by people. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. People look to their preacher like he's supposed to be holier than they are. You know, and I've always really tried to emphasize the fact that I'm no better than anybody else. But, you know, that's what I used to think when I was young, you know. We judge God by looking at people. It's like, you know, when you teach this thing about fathers, and then you think about your own. Now, depending upon your experience with your own dad, God is painted in various ways in your own mind. You got to realize men are men, God is God, and one doesn't match up to the other. We strive. The best of us strive to do it right. And we still, I remember apologizing to my son when he left for the Army for all the screw-ups that I'd done. You know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I asked for his forgiveness. I did my best, but I asked. You know what? Because I know me. And it's not beneath me to admit, you know, even if I'm not sure exactly what it was. I mean, it's a lifetime here. He is not a man that he should lie. The one thing men do all the time, and it's becoming more and more prevalent everywhere I look, is lie. And when you lie to somebody, you break the trust, the relationship. You break the possibilities of real depth of trust and a good relationship. And once I know you lie and you broke that, I can't trust you again. It takes a long time to build back that trust. A long time. Just ask a woman that's been cheated on. And they have a harder time than I do. I can forget stuff pretty easy. Women don't forget too quick. They don't. It's one of those truths that I don't understand, but I do know it's true. Trust. God does not lie. Everything he says he will do. I don't care about your experience. I don't care about what you think. I don't care about what your daddy look like. I don't care how many people have lied to you. When he says he will hear you when you cry to him, he hears you. It's right there. When you say, God, forgive me, he forgives you. Right then. When you ask him for his help, he will provide. Because he knows, it says in one of the Gospels, I can't remember where it says it, but he says he knows what you need of before you even ask. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going to ask him. He knows whether that prayer was stupid or good, but he always hears it. A lot of the things my children ask me were pretty dumb sometimes. They weren't even the right things to ask. And even when they were in the greatest amount of trouble, the refrigerator never had a lock on it. You know, do not enter. You can't be fed. Now, there are probably men out there who've done that. And, you know, I've done other things. God is the example. He doesn't lie. People lie, and they almost even take, it's supposed to be that way now. You know, everybody does it. We just accept that evil. I don't. Malachi, just before Matthew, chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." You know, man has gone off the rails so deeply, so often, so many times, that there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that God didn't need. If he wasn't who he is, we wouldn't be around. He's made his promises. He's provided a Savior, but he'll never change. He will never change. He's not going to be moved by anything, even your sin. Like I said, you can go so far off the rails. They deserve to be killed. You can read this in the scriptures so often. They deserve. Whatever you do to them, they deserve that. You ever watch a thing in, or a horrifying news report about somebody who abused some child or something like that, and you think in your mind, oh, I'd love to kill them? Yes. I could just cut their throat from ear to ear. It would be a righteous service to the world. Well, God's thought that on a number of occasions. It repents me that I have made man the days of Noah, and yet he still preserved mankind. He don't change. He don't lie. He always does what he says. Every promise he has made is coming to pass and is going to be fulfilled. You know, we got a father, man, that's just... He's the Almighty, he's the Creator, he's powerful, he's all-knowing, his wisdom, so much wonder that goes on with him. But he is your father, and he wants you as a child. And he wants to prosper you and bless you, and every promise and every command in the scripture is for your benefit. You said he gave the commandments and the law for Israel's benefit, for thy good. And we'll close in Romans 8. Romans 8:31. I always love this section so much. I think of it in the way of how much God has fought and blessed and wants. And nothing can separate he and I. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified? Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted for sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, everything that you will ever face in life, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors because we're with him. He loves us. There's nothing you can get into that he won't help you with or comfort you through. There are certain things that, you know, death of people, loved ones, moms, dads, whatever, those things, they have to happen. It's just a natural course of things, right? People live and die. God will comfort you through. You'll see them again when the Lord returns. That'll be the real great comfort. But he'll get you through even the tough times where you miss them. Because death is really the ultimate sting. Yeah. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Hear the words. believe it. Remember, he doesn't lie. Every one of his words has come to pass. Nothing can separate you from your Father. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. So I love you all. So, Father, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercies. I'm so grateful, my God, that you are our Father, that you have all those qualities and so many more, Father, that we didn't even touch upon. Help us men who are dads, my God, emulate you and do the best that we can, my God, with your help, with your wisdom, with your love. Help us to serve, because that's why we're alive. And I ask you, Father, that you would continue to open your word to us and help us in all things. Thank you for your provision. I ask you, Father, for your blessing on all those who share abundantly. I ask you for the blessing on the food that we're about to receive and for the joy that we have to fellowship with one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.